Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Your spiritual state is becoming worse and worse, and you are blinded more and more by your own skewed ideas or lies. But how is the psalmist dealing with it? He desires for only one thing. He longs for only one thing. What is that? God. He waits upon the Lord. He thirsts for the Lord. What about you? When you are in turmoil, your first instinct is kneeling down with the word of God and praying to God, or you pick up the phone and call someone. Or you ask someone, hey, let's sit down with me. You know, please hear my side. Please defend me. That's wrong. You should go to God first. He's the best counselor. Without him, you cannot find any good counsel. Without him, you are dying, actually. He's the living water for you. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 27. Because it's David wrote Psalm 27, but verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord in his during his turmoil. One thing have I asked of the Lord is God, that I can dwell with him forever, that I can gaze upon his beauty. So my first question tonight is, are you praying to God that you can dwell with him forever, that you can gaze upon his beauty, his glory? Your help comes from him. Don't forget, you must confide in him primarily. Seek him. Seek his counsel. Go to him. Now let's move on to the second point. God wants us to pour out our heart or our emotions, everything. As we read Psalm 42, we notice immediately that there are a lot of ungodly words here, unfaithful confession here. For example, verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? That's what he said. But God is everywhere. God is with him. God cannot hide from me, or he cannot hide from God. So why is he wondering, when can I meet with God? God is with him. Secondly, verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. Verse 10, as with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. But we learn from the Bible that joy is one of the characteristics of the Christian. Am I right? One aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So if he is a Christian, he should reveal joy, the joyful heart. Let me quote some scriptures. Philippians 2:18, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. 3:1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Christians are meant to be joyful. But what's wrong with this psalmist? We should answer, or we should ask. One more verse. Verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? What a total astonishment. What a total wrong theology he holds. Does he believe that God can leave him? Does he believe that he can lose his salvation? What an ungodly confession he's expressing. God has forgotten me. He doesn't care about me. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Don't fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you and forsake you. Doesn't he study the Bible? So what I want to point out here is that your Heavenly Father wants to hear you anything. In other words, you don't have to pretend that you are godlier than God. Don't scream. You don't have to pretend that you are a theologian, that you are making your words flowery, you know, fancy. Don't do that. God allows you to speak anything. If you are suffering, say it to him. If you are overwhelmed by your life, confide in him. If you hate someone, tell him, Lord, I hate this man. Or if you doubt him, be honest with him. Just say to him, Lord, I doubt you. Are you really alive? It's okay. Speak. Confide in him. He's willing, more than willing, to hear you. Verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. That's how God counsels you. He wants you to pour out. Be honest with him. That's your prayer. Now the point 3, God wants you to think. So when it comes to your turmoil or suffering, please don't trust your feelings. Please don't rely upon your instant urge. Please don't decide any decision instantly. Don't try to listen to yourself. We have to think, rather, upon the Word of God. We have to feed ourselves on the Word of God. Our temptation is, when it comes to our suffering or downcast, is that we want to focus on the present moment, the instant moment. We are blocked now. We don't see other things. We only see this present problem. But you have to know that your circumstances cannot define you. Your conflict cannot define you. Your sorrow is not a correct description of who you are. Does it make sense? Even Paul says, I don't judge myself. It is God who judges me. I am who I am in and by Christ. So don't forget that. Even if you are going through some terrible suffering, don't let it define who you are. Don't let others view how they think about me. Forget about it. So look at God. Don't focus on your feelings. Don't focus on others' evaluation. Don't focus on your present moment. So, 3 things in this point. First, we should think about his grace in the past. So let's not forget about God's abundant grace. How did you become a Christian? I was going to say Christ, so I would be. Let's not forget how gracious the Lord has been to you. Let's not forget how he helped you during your turmoils. That's what the psalmist is trying to do in the text. God tenderly reminds him of the past, which will encourage him. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Verse 6, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Don't forget, we all have our sweetest memories when we were walking with God closely, when we first believed in him, and when we heard his answers some miraculous way. We remember how he helped us. So we should think whenever we go to our suffering or turmoil or downcast, the first thing you should do is remember. Let's remember how I became a Christian. Let's remember how God helped me so far. Secondly, let's remember God's grace in the future. Not only should we recall God's grace in the past, but also we should remind ourselves of the grace in the future. Did you know that? After all your sufferings, hardships were designed by God. Did you know that God is in charge of your pain? He allowed it. He allowed you to go through this extreme pain, painful experience. Therefore, we should say, we cannot avoid. If God planned it, there's no way out. So let's enjoy. Just let's enjoy this painful experience. Okay, Lord, give me more. I'm ready because I know you're my Father. So I know you are training me. Quick question. Don't you want to be a mature Christian? If you love Christ, don't you want to grow in the knowledge of Christ? If you love Christ, don't you want to grow in the grace of Christ? Let's say you have a 5-year-old kid. The kid resists eating a healthy food. Mom and Dad, I'm not gonna eat. Give me candy. So this kid doesn't want to exercise. He just wants to sit down in his room, doesn't want to eat, just there. So he doesn't grow healthy. So what should you do? You should discipline your kid. And you should force your child to eat. If you don't eat, no more, anything. And if you don't exercise, you can name anything. Very simple, isn't it? Right? So let's think this way. If you are going through some suffering, just think that your Heavenly Father is disciplining you. He wants you to grow. So now you are entering a spiritual gymnasium. Okay? And you have your own personal coach. His name is Jesus Christ. Or Holy Spirit, you can maybe both. Don't run away from your exercise or disciplining time. First of all, you cannot do that. Also, don't try to flirt with other naughty people and without doing exercising. Okay? Just endure. Endure your suffering. Just enjoy it. Okay, it's so painful, but doesn't matter. I'm growing. Because I love Christ, this suffering is making me grow. I want to be taller. I want to be more muscular. So Lord, teach me. Discipline me more. And also think about your amazing dinner with a steak, as you mentioned in the morning. Is it filet? I don't know what it was. Filet steak and your homemade bread and your whatever. Chocolate cheesecake, my favorite food. Those are waiting for you. If you're going through right now hardship, just think that those goodies are waiting for me. He's preparing. So let's go through it. Let's go through it. That's why the psalmist is saying, verse 11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him and my salvation, my God." Your faith is refined, is being refined. You are joining his glory more and more. You are tasting the sweetness of God more and more as you are enjoying your suffering, your downcast, your scars. So be joyful, hopeful in the Lord. One more, we should think also about this present pain anyway. Two things. First thing, we should deal with our enemies. Second thing, we should deal with our worst enemy. So Psalm 42 verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night, as with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me." So you have to deal with your enemies. So very simple, I'm going to make it really simple. How to deal with others who criticize you or who mocks at you or who belittle you during your hardship. They don't sympathize with you. They, I don't know, are happy maybe with your suffering. The answer is that ignore it. Don't argue with them. Just be humble. I don't find any aspect here the psalmist is trying to argue with them. He just going to God. Very simple. Don't try to argue with other people who are attacking you or who are enjoying your suffering or pleased with your hardship. Secondly, you should deal with your worst enemy. Who do you think may become the worst enemy during your suffering? According to me, it is you. I mean, according to my experience, the worst enemy is myself. My mind doesn't stop thinking about this hardship. When you get into your suffering, your mind doesn't stop thinking. You're thinking over and over. You want to find any way to solve the problem. But your learning, your knowledge of the Bible doesn't affect you anymore. You want to resist God's help. You want to resist godly counsels. You don't want to be encouraged. You don't want to be comforted by others. You just want to be a stubborn person who must be satisfied, who must solve your problem. Verse 11 again. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, my God." So the answer is that you should preach the gospel to you. Don't stop. I know it's hard, but you should press on. Even though you don't want, but you should feed upon the word of God. Does it make sense? To feed upon the word of God over and over and over. That maybe that's the only way you can fight against yourself. The last point of the counseling of God. God sympathizes with you. Verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As you know, this phrase, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me? Was voiced again by Christ. My point is that Christ is deeply related, connected to your turmoils. Christ is his very acute pain and your acute pain are intertwined. Does it make sense? Let me develop it more and let me try to convince you. It is not only with your sufferings that are connected to Christ, but every single matter and event in your life is connected to Christ because your whole being, your whole life is designed on the basis of his life. There is nothing in your life that is not connected to the life of Christ. Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ. Now it's important. Before the ages began. It is a staggering truth. Before the ages began, you were saved in God's mind through Christ. Before the ages began, your suffering was designed upon the suffering of Christ. You were chosen by God in the death of Christ. Does it make sense? You were written in the book of the slain lamb in the Revelation before the foundation of the world. So your happy life or your peaceful life, plus your suffering, your hardships, your scars, whatever it is, were designed, already planned in the book of the slain lamb before the foundation of the world. You may say Christ intentionally quoted this phrase before he was about to die. But in my understanding, it is more likely during this psalmist's suffering, the suffering of Christ was intervened. God revealed the suffering of Christ to the psalmist and inspired him to write down this best counsel. It's not only you who's suffering. It is Christ who died for you. It is Christ who had to suffer because of you. So are you going through suffering? Look at Christ. Because of your suffering, he died for you. He had to taste the death, the penalty of your sin. Why have you forsaken me? He was going through the broken relationship with the Father. He experienced the acute pain himself. He can sympathize with you. Do you know why? He knows exactly what you are feeling. He knows what it feels like. He knows the feeling. Why? Why have you forsaken me? You said you're my God. You said you're my Savior. Then why are you allowing this pain to happen to me? Christ understands. He screamed out. He complained, if you allow me to use that word. He complained. He screamed out, why have you forsaken me? I don't want to go through this broken relationship. I love you, Father, and I know you love me. Let me say this way, Christ understand you. So don't think that Christ can only help you when you are going through hardship or suffering. Wherever you are situated, Christ understands you. So cry out, scream out, I cannot live without you. If you leave me, or if you pretend, I'm sorry, to hide from me, I'm gonna say, why have you forsaken me? Christ understands. He can sympathize with you. Verse 8, by day the Lord commands. It's a very important word. He commands, he orders, he forcefully commands his steadfast love, his covenant love, and at night his song is with me. His faithful love will not be quenched regardless of your situation. His love for you endures forever. So my question again, do you love him? Do you know this person who screamed out, why have you forsaken me, in order to save you? Do you know him? I want to close with 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is written by the Apostle Paul. As you know, he was immensely used by God, and he devoted his whole life for Christ. So chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. So he knew he's going to die soon. I have kept the faith. In verse 16, in my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. Verse 17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. What did he say? He lived for God with his all effort. What's his picture? All people deserted me. Everyone left me. Everyone has betrayed me. But do you think Paul was crying, complaining? No. But Paul says, but the Lord stands by me. People can hurt you, dear brothers and sisters. People can betray you, but Christ cannot betray you. Christ cannot leave you. He cannot abandon you, because he loves you. He bought you with his love, with his blood. That's why Peter says, though I have not seen him, though you don't see him visibly right now, but I know you love him. Though you don't see him right now, but I know you believe in him, because he's trustworthy, because he's beautiful. Christ is attractive. He deserves your love. Would you trust him? Would you love him? Hope in God. You must praise God forever. Let's pray. Oh, Father.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151, or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.